and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, barely, and the verdict is in, Chris. I have a broken fifth metatarsal, everybody.
That's nifty.
Aren't New York, aren't New York has literally broken me, like a little sparrow. Crunch.
Aren't you moving 3,000 miles this week?
Yes. Yes. With two giant dogs and a lot of luggage. How convenient.
But not a car.
Pardon me, Sonny suggests, and I've just been on rentboy.com, I do need someone to help me carry my luggage. Thank you very much, Sonny, for that suggestion. I'm getting me a rentboy to help me carry my luggage.
All right.
On my trip.
But you're moving without your car.
No. Oh, that's the other thing that happened. By the time yesterday, I'd lost the will to live anyway, Chris. The car company called to say that the truck carrying my car and all my belongings back to Los Angeles has burst into flames.
Yes. And a broken axle.
Yes. The good news is my car is all right. They're just moving it onto another truck and it'll be there sometime.
Now, there were two,
next Christmas.
There were two cars on that truck, you said.
That they lost. That went up in flames.
That were a
so,
loss.
Yeah. And you could tell he thought I was going to go ape dump on him, and I was just like, okay. All right. I have a broken foot. Okay, just let me know. Lucky for him, I'd already lost the will to live.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the by, kids, rentboy.com, it is frozen on my computer right now. It is frozen in carbonite, so I do not lose that.
Great.
I have Carbonite Online backup, a must from my computer, and yours too. Carbonite automatically backs up the files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the internet. Go to carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie right now, won't you, for my special 15-day free trial, plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Check it out. Do it. All right, kids, we have a big show. Hang on, I'm a little bit discombobulated here. I'm icing and elevating and got a lot of stuff going on. Christine Robbins, fancy economist, financial gal from CNN. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. I'm sorry about the foot. Jeez.
That's all right. I'm a mess. I think everyone knows I'm just a hot mess at this point. Good morning, Christine Robbins of Your Money on CNN. How are you?
I'm great. It's been a busy couple of days. We're watching McChrystal, watching BP, watching your fifth metatarsal. I mean, there's
yes.
a lot of news out here that affects everyone's bottom line.
Exactly. Particularly my fifth metatarsal. Now, I know this isn't exactly your area, but McChrystal, I think this meeting's coming up in just a few minutes, isn't it?
I know it's going to happen soon here, and it's apparently he is ready to tender his resignation if asked. But I mean, that's pretty stunning to be running the war and be called home for a meeting like this. I'm just fascinated to find out what the president's going to do and what McChrystal's going to do. It's just a fascinating story.
It was like being called into Sister Dorothy's office in Catholic school. I can only imagine, but just my opinion needs to fire his ass. But anyway, let's move on to the oil spill, because there are so many ripples to this disaster, aren't there, Christine? But the economic, you know, I think people are wondering, like, first of all, gas prices. How does this affect, you know, just everyday economics so far?
Well, so far, it hasn't had much of an effect on gas prices. In fact, since April 20th, when this happened, gas prices have mostly been moving slightly lower. So at least we don't have that in the very near term to be upset mm-hmm. about. And, you know, the gurus over at J.P. Morgan, one of their economists over there, Michael Farola, he actually says that in the end, you might see a slight positive to GDP, to the nation's growth, a very slight positive in the end because of all of the relief efforts and the spending on relief and the like, but he points out that the area is devastated. I mean, the economic impact on the Gulf Coast is just horrific. When you put that in the entire country, there's another fellow that I recently interviewed from U.S. News & World Report who said that if you don't live within 100 miles of the Gulf Coast, this will eventually not affect you, other than the fact that you're horrified that this happened and that a big company could make such a horrible, you know, have such a horrible impact on a part of our country. But the economic impact, many people are hoping, will be limited, except if you live in that area. It's horrible, and it will hurt you, and it could hurt your family, you know, down the line.
Sure. So what do you make of this whole, you know, the judge who ruled against the offshore drilling moratorium, of course, invests heavily in the oil industry, as it turns out, you know, has energy stocks, including Transocean, Halliburton, two of BP's largest U.S. shareholders. How do you think this is going to play out? I mean, the White House is immediately going to appeal, right, to the Fifth Circuit?
Oh, yeah. The White House is holding fast on this, and they want to know what went wrong with the BP situation before you're allowing any more of this stuff. So, I mean, you're setting up for a big court fight here and a big fight between, you know, this circuit and the White House, no question whatsoever. You make a very interesting point about the stocks. You know that these stocks are widely held. I mean, these stocks are like big income-producing stocks. I mean, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation are some of the biggest owners of BP shares. I mean, CalPERS has BP shares and shares of other drillers as well. I mean, the thing is when you start digging into how many of us own, if you have any kind of income fund in your 401k, you are probably a BP shareholder, if not a Transocean shareholder or many other shareholders, too. So I've been trying to follow that thread, you know, and I there are people who don't even, I don't know the situation of this particular judge, what he knows he has or not, but if you look,
right.
I will say this, though, Stephanie. I scoured the president's own financial records, and he very pointedly does not own any drillers anywhere. Very smart move somewhere along the way. Whoever was advising him on money made, he doesn't have any drillers. The Vanguard funds have a lot of these big drillers and BP in them because they pay such a rich dividend, but the president doesn't seem to have any.
Christine, it is an interesting dichotomy, particularly on the Gulf Coast, isn't it? You know, when you look at these, you know, lawmakers that even represent these areas, I mean, it really is half fishing industry, which is decimated, and half drilling, which is also decimated. You know, this is how people make their living.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what basically, you know, the judge is siding with people on the drilling side. But again, it's like, how many of these disasters are we going to have? Obviously, the financial devastation outweighs, you know, being able to continue drilling, doesn't it?
Well, and I've been going back to Exxon Valdez, actually. And I thought, what lessons did we learn from Exxon Valdez? What kind of public mood did we have then that was so against, like, shipping this stuff around and how it could so hurt the environment? And what are we doing? We're addicted to oil. And if you look at the trajectory of the world's consumption of oil since Valdez, it'll just make you want to cry if you think that something as horrific as that could make a difference. It didn't make a difference. In fact, then in 1990, you had this Oil Pollution Act that at the time we thought was the best, or, you know, senators thought was the best way to try to make sure something like this never happened again, or to punish companies that were responsible for something like this. And now, you know, the very people who supported that act in 1990 are saying, well, okay, it was flawed. It wasn't exactly the right thing, and it doesn't really help us in this situation. You know, it's like, well, who's overseeing all of this? Who in the government is regulating these drills? I mean, just the
right.
Failures from top to bottom is stunning.
I have to ask you before you go, as someone that deals in facts and figures, obviously, in the financial area, did you see Michael Steele on, what was it, on CNBC saying George Bush created a lot of jobs?
I did not see him saying George Bush created a lot of jobs. He really said that?
Yes. No, that's what it was interesting. The guy interviewing him was like, pardon me? I beg your pardon? Full sex as well?
Either because, for whatever reason, George Bush's tenure opened with a recession and closed with a recession, and
right.
It was some of the slowest
right.
jobs growth. There were jobs created between, but it was some of the slowest jobs growth. I mean, that we now know, we'll look back in history, we'll now know that we were coming off some kind of crazy boom bubble
right.
on credit, and it was about ready to pop.
Right. Well, I love the, you know, the story about the paltry 1 million jobs created under Bush. It is actually, for those of you keeping records, the worst track record for job creation since the government began keeping records. But other than that.
I'll tell you that I've been doing a lot of stories about these young people coming out of college right now. And, you know, if you're Generation X, you came out of college and 24 million jobs were created over like 10 or 11 years. I mean, it was unbelievable. You could be the biggest slacker in the world and probably find a job
yeah.
if you were in Generation X. Present
yeah.
company excluded, of course.
And yes, of course.
Generation Y, they've come out when there are 8 million fewer jobs than before. So I feel kind of bad for the new generation who has this new reality.
Well, I know. And Christine, it's still, right, I mean, and it's still, as we all know, not great out there. However, like, I'm looking right as we speak at this graph, and I mean, more jobs may be created under Obama this year alone than in Bush's 8 years. I mean, there's just no way to spin those numbers. I mean, it clearly we are going in the right direction under these, you know, this president's financial policies.
We need more jobs, though. We have 46% of the people who are unemployed have been unemployed for 6 months or longer. You have companies now who are putting in their flyers for jobs and in their advertisements for jobs, only people currently employed need apply. And that's completely legal, and it's happening all over the place. There are a lot of people who are being left behind, and that's one of the things that we have to figure out how to address. And the White House is aware of this and trying to figure out how to address it. But there's something new happening here that we haven't seen before, even as we're starting to see, you know, a reawakening in the jobs market. We're seeing two speeds. People at the top of their game are getting job offers. People who have been out of work for 6 months or longer are getting left out. And there's something about that that's pretty troubling and is going to be a policy issue for this White House.
Yep, absolutely. Christine Romans, I think everyone would be doing better if only they had your money, but they don't. You only have your money. And you're keeping it all to yourself on CNN.
It's only five little dollar signs, and you can only get it on Saturday and Sunday, 1 and 3 Eastern time.
Yeah.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. All right. Christine Romans of CNN, thanks so much, as always, for your time.
Bye-bye.
All right, there she goes. Love her.
She's great.
Love her. She's awesome. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, who is going to kill me, or me, Stephanie Miller.
She will.
She is burning me in effigy as we speak. I, you know, the big party I was planning, my big welcome home party.
Wait, that you were planning?
Yeah, we're not. I'm not doing the big. I have a broken foot, and it's like too much.
So it's off?
My car's on fire. My foot's broken. No, not right now.
Oh.
I know. We'll do it at some point. I'm just. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, Steph, the guy who owns the show wants to kill you for the life insurance money. He doesn't have to. He just has to sit back and wait for you to kill yourself.
Yeah.
That's true. I'm doing a pretty good job. Look on the bright side. If BP tries to weasel out of paying for the oil spill, you can put your boot on their neck.
Are you wearing a boot?
I have a boot. What's that little boot? I'm wearing a boot. I am. I'm wearing the friggin' 6 to 8 weeks, this boot. All right.
God, you are never going to attract a man.
I told you my plan. I need to off myself before I get fat. Because it's just, at least I won't die fat. Just kidding.
Although you're not going to be able to exercise for the next 8 weeks, so you're going to get fat.
I am, I will be that old fat woman in the woods with a lot of dogs and poo in my hair and stuff in just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Good. All right.
Job well done.
The good news is, pardon me?
Job well done.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
19 minutes after the hour, I have fun stories from my last couple of days.
Okay.
Name dropping left and right. Woo!
Did you go out drinking with the union guys?
Indeed, I did.
Yay!
Dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz last night. I got stories when we come back. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yep. That's it. They like fat chicks with a big boot on their foot.
Yeah.
On their hammer toe. With a broken metatarsal. All right. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. And you thought I couldn't get to be a bigger loser. You were wrong, right?
I was wrong.
See?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can always stop myself. Hello, Mike and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, you got nothing on me. I'm going to be hanging with Bill Press tonight, so.
Oh, yeah, he's in Madison signing copies of his book, Toxic Talk.
Fabulous.
Yeah, he was broadcasting from Madison.
That's
See,
right.
You're going to mess up with these Republicans.
Give him a big French kiss for me, won't you?
Yeah. Okay. These guys are so transparent. The first thing I said is, we'll see how many judges got their hands in the BP jar once you put the lid on. But apparently, we don't get news in Wisconsin very fast, because we had two Republican House members here in the paper yesterday talking about how this is such a terrible thing. This is a shakedown of BP. I mean, they parried each other. Didn't they know that this guy said this 2 weeks ago?
It really is. It's something like somebody rooting for Snidely Whiplash, isn't it? Really? You're really? Defending BP. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's some right-wing blogger guy, Fox guy, basically said that Obama should resign over this, not Tony Hayward.
Right.
I was reading. I was like, huh? Well, how do you, and the, you know, BP basically in this post is just sort of a helpless victim of this whole thing, Chris. You know how it is.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, will this BP thing be the downfall of Fox News? Because it seems like every single person on Fox News is siding with BP.
Yeah,
nobody else in America is.
That is crazy. All right. So where do I start? Oh, you know, we should see if we can put my x-ray up on the website. Then we can match it with my bloody eye that I got on the way into New York.
You told me to take
those
down.
Match it with my broken fifth metatarsal on the way out. Pardon me?
You told me to take the pictures of the bloody eye down because
it was
making
people too grossed out.
Yeah, people were vomiting across the United States while they were looking at
it. Can you take
those
down now? Yeah. Those are gross. Wait till they see my broken hammer toe. They're going to be like, oh, my God, put the bloody eye back up. Oh, Lord. All right, I need to thank, hang on a second. It's a long name. It's Office and Professional Workers, Employees International. Thank you, everybody. I went down to D.C. and spoke to the union, and they are awesome. We're going to have the president, Mike Goodwin, on next week. So that was fun. That was fun stuff. So I've had quite a few days despite my broken foot.
What else happened?
Well, funny you should ask. I went to a fancy party here in New York, a liberal media elite party.
In your boot?
Yes, indeed. I wore a dress and my boot.
So you couldn't wear
those. Not a good look.
You couldn't wear those strappy heels.
No. One strappy heel.
Oh no! So you were
Walked like an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was the launch party for Arianna Huffington, darling. I have in the radio show.
Uh-huh.
Stephanie, I'm so glad that you could make it. Thank you so much. Arianna Huffington and Mary Madeline have a new weekend radio show coming out. So I spoke to Mary Madeline and her husband, James Carville. The good news for me, they do not listen to our show, so they seem very happy to see me.
Even
heard anything we've said.
You know what? I'm sure James is used to it. I'm sure he's gotten it from all sides on this situation.
I talked to Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas. They were there. It was quite a star-studded event.
It sounds like it.
Guess who else I talked to?
Who?
Governor Elliot Spitzer. Who told me I should stay in New York? See, I'm like,
I think he's kind of
just fill in your own joke there.
Yeah, he's kind of biased there.
I love him. He's smart, funny. He's rumored to be hosting a show, perhaps on CNN, that there might be some bias. So he said he'll call me. Fill in your own joke here. Anyway, I love Elliot. Yes, it was.
Did he give you his private number?
Yes, I have his number.
Oh, good.
All right. All right. And I had dinner with Ed and Wendy Schultz last night. I will tell you that story as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour. So it looks like, is General McChrystal, I believe he's en route.
En route.
The meeting is starting in mere moments. We will talk about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A gorgeous babe with bad taste in guys.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We're about 10 minutes away from the President Obama McChrystal meeting. The President yesterday about General Asshat.
Yeah, General McChrystal is on his way here. And I am going to meet with him. Secretary Gates will be meeting with him as well. I think it's clear that the article in which he and his team appeared showed poor judgment. And but I also want to make sure that I talk to him directly before I make any final decisions.
I guess McChrystal has said this morning that he has compromised the mission.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the other thing people have been saying, which is true, Chris, this isn't the first time with this guy. I mean, first of all, a lot of people brought this up in the beginning, is the Tillman cover-up.
That's right. We brought that up yesterday a lot.
Yeah, that he was implicated in that. And then, you know, the other thing is in terms of TRIF levels and all that. I mean, he's been talking out of school for a while. You don't do it.
Right.
I mean, the president is the commander in chief, and it's so public and private signs, obviously, from the administration point to President Obama firing or accepting the resignation of McChrystal. The magazine, I saw the, what do you call it? What's the, it's the subtitle? The U.S. commander in Afghanistan never takes his eyes off the real enemy, the wimps in the White House. Yeah, good move. Retired General Barry McCaffrey, did you see him yesterday? He said McChrystal should go and is fatally impaired in his effectiveness.
Yeah.
The president again yesterday.
Even as General McChrystal is on his way here, I want everybody to keep in mind what our central focus is, and that is success in making sure that Al-Qaeda and its affiliates cannot attack the United States and its allies. And we've got young men and women there who are making enormous sacrifices, families back home who are making enormous sacrifices. And so whatever decision that I make with respect to General McChrystal, or any other aspect of Afghan policy is determined entirely on how I can make sure that we have a strategy that justifies the enormous courage and sacrifice that those men and women are making over there.
Yeah, and McChrystal needs to realize that the press is not part of the military chain of command.
Yeah. Marie in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marie.
Good morning. I have got the perfect response that the president should give to McChrystal. And it is as follows. Bust him down in rank and pay. Give him an office in the darkest corner in the basement of the Pentagon. And then stop loss him. Because clearly, since he knows so much about this, we can't afford to let him retire or resign.
Exactly. He'll be peeling potatoes before the president's done.
KP.
KP duty. Mary in Minneapolis. Hi, Mayor.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm just calling to give you my sympathy and maybe a couple of words of wisdom regarding your fifth metatarsal.
Please. It's going to be a pity party all morning. Thank you.
Oh, honey, I did mine on February 28th, and I'm still in a boot. 6 to 8 weeks. Somebody's not telling you the truth. Honey, I'm sorry.
No way. It's a fracture of my fifth metatarsal, really?
Yeah, I saw my x-rays. It's that way, yeah. You know, you're so young and nubile, though. Your bones will probably heal a lot faster than mine.
Oh,
young and nubile, please.
Shut up, Chris. Thank you, Mary. How did you do yours?
God. Yes, you should.
All right, I just... Oh, never mind. I thought she couldn't hear me. Okay. Yeah, I wish mine were glamorous. I got a standing ovation yesterday at the union because I said I was kicking some union basher's ass. That's how I did it. I said I kicked that unnamed source's ass in the White House that said the unions wasted their money in Arkansas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not true. Just missed a step. Okay. Robert Gibbs, White House press secretary yesterday on McChrystal.
I think anybody that reads that article understands as Secretary Gates talked about, what an enormous mistake this was, given the fact that mothers and fathers all over this country are sending their children halfway across the world to participate in this.
We are about 7 minutes away from awkward. The meeting reported to be in about 7 minutes or so with the... Wow, wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall when he walks into the Oval Office? Woo!
It's like George Jetson going in to meet Mr. Spacely.
And he'll know he's in trouble when Donald Trump is sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
You're fired.
All right. Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Robert.
Couple of takes on McChrystal. A, he's an insubordinate SOB.
Yep.
B, you know.
Yeah, and what is he, in eighth grade? You know, Joe Biden, would you say, bite me?
Man, you never talk smack about your superiors, ever, if you're in the military.
Right.
And B, you know, I think he's the first route off a sinking ship. And I think, you know, the first thing you do for your own failings is you blame your superiors. And, you know, Obama's screw up was that he trusted McChrystal to come up with a plan for Afghanistan. And, you know, all my friends in the military for months had said we're bogged down over there. And so I think McChrystal's just trying to save his own face, trying to get maybe a job on Fox News or, you know.
Yeah.
You know, contractor or something like that, you know.
Yep, absolutely. All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Madeline in Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Madeline, welcome.
Hi. Listen, about your broken toe or foot or whatever it is.
It's a fractured fifth metatarsal.
Okay, that sounds marvelous. I had
yes.
a broken leg,
mm.
and
Oof.
I was in that boot.
Yeah.
And my doctor had me taking zinc
so,
because I'm old, so it would heal faster, and it worked.
Really?
I was out of that cotton-picking boot with a broken leg in 4 weeks.
Wow. I'm going to go get me some zinc.
Start with the zinc, kid. It'll get rid of the bruising, too. It helps restore and rebuild damaged tissue.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Madeline. It's going to turn into a medical show today, isn't it? I can tell. All right. Why am I guessing that the president might be wearing a boot later today after this General McChrystal meeting? Robert Gibbs again yesterday.
General McChrystal, as Secretary Gates has said, has made an enormous mistake. A mistake that he'll get a chance to talk about and answer to tomorrow to both officials in the Pentagon and to the Commander-in-Chief.
All right. Ooh, here he is. He's arriving now, everybody. Okay. Jake Tapper from ABC News with Robert Gibbs yesterday.
Can you characterize at all the president's reaction to hearing that aides of McChrystal called Vice President Biden bite me? McChrystal advisor said Obama clearly didn't know anything about McChrystal when they first met. Here's a guy who's going to run his effing war. He didn't seem very engaged. The boss was pretty disappointed.
He'll have his undivided attention tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? None of that was fair. I mean, Obama was a week in office. Yeah, there you go. Oh, there he comes.
Get in here.
All right. A reporter point blank asked Robert Gibbs yesterday about McChrystal's job.
Mm-hmm.
Is McChrystal's job safe?
We'll have more to say after that meeting.
Ah. Yeah, it's, I think they're all but saying it. What's your prediction, though, Chris? Is he going to resign, or is he going to outright get fired? I was telling you, I had dinner with Ed Schultz last night, and as of last night, they said, you know, he obviously has not. There was no report that he had.
I think the president is going to accept McChrystal's resignation. I don't think that he's going to fire him outright.
That he'll bring the letter with him.
Yes.
And maybe the president will make a cootie catcher out of it or something. I don't know. You know, it just.
But I guess it's a very, very, very important moment in Afghanistan right now because they were getting ready to do this big assault on Kandahar or something
right.
like that. And
right.
so it's a really bad time to fire the main commander. But it has to be done. And I'm sure he's had some commanders around him that know everything that's going to be going on. So it might be easy to replace him. But still. You know.
Yeah, no, I know. Senator Jim Webb yesterday, veteran, obviously.
I think he's had three bites out of the apple here. One was with the situation with Pat Tillman. He was in the middle of that. I mentioned that during his confirmation hearing. The second was when he gave an interview with 60 Minutes while this policy was being formulated. The third was when he was giving a speech in London. At the same time, other people were in the White House trying to figure out where to go on the policy. So I think it's a pretty serious matter, but it's up to the president.
Yeah, that was what was being discussed last night, Chris, that you don't put the president in a box.
No, you do not.
You know, and that's what McChrystal has done in the past, is you don't discuss war strategy in the press.
Right.
Before you discuss it with the commander-in-chief. I mean, it just – so I think you're right. It's like it would be different if this were just a one-off.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's part of, a pattern of insubordination. I think he's lucky he hasn't gotten fired thus far.
Exactly. Nobody puts the president in a box, and nobody puts baby in a corner.
Exactly. I would give my life if that's the first thing the president said to him when he walked in. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Or maybe nobody puts Barack in the corner. Something.
Something.
That'd be funny. Come on. All right, Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller. I was going to go there. I almost collided with you getting to the Dirty Dancing joke.
That's why I kind of interrupted you to get there first.
I know, bastard. Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I think it's just a bunch of crap in a way, really. I'm retired military, and I've been on both sides of it. And there's many times I've sit there and wanted my superiors to say something when they're before Congress, you know, that and I'm talking both types of administration, Republican and Democrat. You know what? The guy's going to get his retirement. He's going to go home. Big deal. You know what? And
big deal? Well, I mean, a lot of people think that kind of insubordination is a big deal.
Yeah, when it was Petraeus up there, you know, you guys were all on the other side of it. You wanted him to say everything.
What?
It's just a joke.
You wanted him to say everything?
What?
Yeah.
When did we say that?
You were calling him, General Petraeus and stuff?
We didn't call him that.
No.
And, oh, you guys did.
No. No, we did not.
You guys didn't. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, so then don't say we did.
The left did.
No.
Yes, everyone on the left did. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, because we're known to be so organized that everyone on the left said it.
You guys went... All right. Thank you for calling Apples and Oranges. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest. McChrystal, I believe, is meeting with the president as we speak. Back with all the latest as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Chris, I almost broke my other foot struggling to get the check last night at dinner with Ed and Wendy. But I won! I paid for dinner.
Ed is like three times your size.
I know.
How did you win?
Yeah, because they've been very kind, very generous to me, and he has me on his TV show all the time, and I wanted to thank them. And so we ordered lots of expensive wine, and then I got in, and Wendy was trying to grab, we were all trying to grab the check, and I won. So there.
They serve wine at Burger King?
We went to a very nice restaurant.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president is meeting with General Asshat as we speak. Two prominent House Democrats, of course, calling for McChrystal to be fired. David Obie, am I always saying that wrong?
Obie.
David Obie, yes, of Wisconsin, said McChrystal is part of a long list of reckless and renegade generals who haven't seemed to understand that their role is to implement policy, not design it. Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. said McChrystal should be dismissed immediately and unceremoniously returned home. The military must know that the commander-in-chief is, in fact, in charge, and a lack of discipline will not be tolerated. Don't you love this? Don't you just know somehow, Chris, that because it's a Democratic president, can you imagine if a general had done this to Bush, how quickly?
Yeah.
The right wing would have been supportive of his firing him. But Eric Cantor? He seems to be siding with Crystal.
Really?
He said, obviously, a general and his top brass don't make statements like these without being frustrated. Yeah. See, once again, I'm sure it's all Obama's fault, much like the oil spill. So I hope it's the president's meeting with General McChrystal will include a frank discussion about what's happening on the ground. Yeah, that General McChrystal's in charge of. It's his strategy. You know, that's what someone was saying, Chris, that it'd be different if he were doing a great job, but he's not.
He's not.
On top of this being, as Jim Webb said, one of a long list of, I think he should have been fired. You know, it's amazing, even just the Tillman thing.
Mm-hmm.
Before you get to the 60 Minutes interview and the other thing in London, and he's just, you know, general shouldn't be chatty, in my personal opinion.
Well, he's an asshat.
Yes. Exactly. General asshat to you. Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Don.
Good morning. You know that I'm the conservative guy from time to time, and I think that McChrystal should resign. There's no question. I'm an honorable discharge veteran. I know when if I were to complain about my commanders, I'd be in their office the next morning, and they'd say, look, you know, this is the deal. Bye.
Yeah. Well, Don, you're an honest conservative. That's what I mean. You know, some of these guys, you know, it's just politics because, you know, you're absolutely right. That's something Republican, Democrat, any American should understand.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who the commander-in-chief is. You just, you don't do that.
If you've done that,
it does matter when you don't have faith in your commanders, you leave. When you're an officer, you can resign. Actually, anybody can resign in the military. Not many people realize that. Even E2s, E1s can say bye. I'm not.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, hello, Colonel Ward. Good morning.
If anyone had done that under Bush, they'd be waterboarded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been set to Gitmo for a long time.
Yeah.
Or just disappeared. Sometimes guys have accidents.
I was actually kind of surprised that most people on Fox News yesterday said that McChrystal needs to go.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think one of the most ominous statements was the John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Just said, you know, McChrystal's future is up to the President of the United States. I mean, that's pretty much saying, like, you know.
Yeah, it'd be better if he resigned rather than got fired, because they would hold that over Obama for forever.
Well, no, the entire panel on Brett Baer yesterday was saying that Obama needs to take charge and fire McChrystal.
Okay.
If he doesn't, then they said that'll show that Obama doesn't take charge, blah, 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 blah. So they spun it like that.
Well, yeah, but they want him to do that so they can hold that over him during the elections. So
I don't even know how that works. I mean, how does that work if he says I'm tendering my resignation? You can't quit. You're fired.
You're fired.
I mean,
he can accept his resignation and problem solved.
No, but what I'm saying is if he tenders his resignation, is the president actually able to fire him, or what's the difference? You know what I'm saying, Jim? The Fox panel was saying, no, he has to fire him.
It's a subtle difference. I mean, yeah, but if he fires him, yes, it makes him look strong. But that's something, you know, during the next campaign, there's something saying McChrystal is going to run for vice president. And that would be a campaign slogan.
Yeah.
So,
Representative David.
Anyway, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I say if he just resigns, then the problem is solved, and they can't really hold that against him for accepting his resignation.
If McChrystal did this in order to, you know, get out of the military to run for president or vice president, I think it's backfiring really, really bad on him, because the right hates him just as much as the left now.
Mm-hmm. Representative David Obey yesterday.
He is contemptuous of virtually all of the officials in the administration who are theoretically his civilian superiors. And that's a dangerous situation.
Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hey, guys. Man, I would love to be a fly in the room when Biden leans over and talks into freaking McChrystal's ear. I'm sure it's not going to be pretty.
Why don't you bite me and you're fired?
If McChrystal worked for a private business, not even being in the military, he would be fired over this. I mean, it's a no-brainer to me. The guy's a complete jerk. I thought, you know, with the Tillman lies, he should have been held accountable at that point. And then he's been acting like an asshat ever since.
I'd
like to see him walk out of the White House today without his stripes, like, you know, still have stitching there.
Oh, yeah. What movie is that where he just rips them all off?
Branded. Yeah, that was the TV show.
That's what I want to see.
There you go. Yep.
It was what?
Branded. Dun, 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 dun. Nah. And there was a schoolyard version of that, which I probably can't say in the air.
We all know the only place that kind of outright insubordination is allowed is radio. Am I right, Chris?
Yeah, F you.
Bite me.
Oh, Chris once called me a really bad word.
I did. Don't...
On the air?
And he's still here.
Wow.
No, you know which word, you know, the nuclear winter word.
Yes.
The word that women really don't like. Uh-huh. Off the air. He's still here. Shows you something about my self-esteem. Okay, let's go to Aldis in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Aldis.
Hey, Stephanie. You know, I think Obama's going to beat you for the booth. I think he's going to have two booths at the end of this meeting. One, because McChrystal stepped on his toe so damn hard. And the second one, because he's going to kick McChrystal's butt so hard.
Yes.
Now, and honestly, of course, McChrystal really deserves to be fired. But, you know, keep in mind, the moment he is instantly qualified as a Fox commentator.
Right.
Yeah. Although, as you pointed out, Chris, he may not even be allowed at Fox now.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Because the right hates him just as much as the left does.
Hmm. Exactly. Margaret in Asheville, back to...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, my favorite subject. Hello, Margaret.
Hey, Stephanie.
Yes.
I think I gave you the broken foot juju when you were here, because when I saw you, I had the broken foot, the fifth metatarsal.
Hmm.
And I just wanted to call and let you know.
Oh, no. How long were you in the boot for? Just say it.
Four weeks. 2 weeks at least, and then they gave me this other air cast to put on, which was, they're all ugly and horrible, and it so kills you. You're like me, you're hyper, and you don't get to do all the stuff you want to do, and it drives you crazy.
Thank you. Like, I have much farther to go. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. It is frozen magically in carbonite. It's a must for my computer. It should be a must for your computer, too. It automatically backs up your files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. Go to carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial. Plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right, someone sent us a lovely sound drop about my disastrous move to New York, which ends tomorrow. Here we go.
I hope you're all very proud of yourselves. So, my dear, you think you can get to Broadway. But let me tell you something. Broadway has no room for people like you. Not the Broadway I know. My Broadway takes people like you and eats them up and spits them out. And if you think you can build yourself up by knocking other people down, good luck!
So that's what happened. All right.
Pretty much our show, knocking other people down.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Like bowling pins.
Mark.
We knock each other down, too, so it all comes full circle.
Mark, here's a lovely offer, though. Mark in Minneapolis writes, "Staff, welcome home. See, well, I won't be home till tomorrow. Back to L.A. tomorrow. Seems like you have to learn everything the hard way, Calamity. I could have..." I am on Calamity Staff, technically. Mm-hmm. "I could have told you, home is what you see when you shut your eyes and click your heels 3 times. So you're pitching camp in L.A. for permanent. Well, before you unpack, let me just run this past. You ever thought of moving up here to Moosylvania? It's lovely this time of year. The moose are in rut. We could make a life. Raise up a family. I'll take my answer off the air. Wow, why the hell not?"
That's funny. I've never heard of it. I've never heard
to.
Minnesota called Moosylvania before. That's
crossed
funny.
By Charles, Moosylvania.
And Rick, oh, yeah, we had Ted Boutros on the other day, who is Ted Olson's law
Boutros?
Partner in the
golly. Hmm? That never gets old.
In the Prop 8 trial. And we, Rick writes, "Staff, assuming Ted wins his case, which of course he should, he would theoretically be free to marry Boutros Ghali, who could then take his last name." I get it.
So be Ted Boutros Ghali.
Yes. Wonder if he has to wear a boot to have that many Boutroses in his name.
Yeah, it's 3 Boutroses.
That's what they would ask me if I married him to you and your boot. Take this Boutros. All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Carl Frisch is here from Media Matters for some right wing.
Carl.
Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Oh, he's so fresh. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
All right. So let's dive into the right wing world, shall we, kids? Glenn Beck on the radio on war.
War is your last resort. War means there's no way to deal with these people. So there's no way to deal with them. You kill them as fast as you possibly can. We're not doing that. We didn't under Bush. We're not certainly not doing it now. And I fear we are intentionally being brought in deeper into a quagmire. I think we're intentionally having our troops very busy. Break the spirit of our military.
What? I don't really even understand what he's ever talking about. Do you, Carl? That's
well,
my first problem.
Sometimes, it's not. You know, he basically is saying that libertarian magic dust would make Afghanistan go better. He wants the private military out there because we all know we haven't had any problems with Blackwater.
Right.
Yes. We're intentionally his conspiracies go so deep, I get a little dizzy. We're intentionally having our troops busy to break the spirit of the troops.
Right.
But was he also saying that war should be used as a last resort? Well, then what went on with the Bush administration? I don't understand
yes.
that.
I think when he says resort, he means like, you know, a sandals vacation.
Oh.
Club dead.
Yeah. Club dread.
Wow, speaking of conspiracy theories, here is the drug-addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh.
Now, would it be cynical of me to question the timing of this article, an article which wasn't even supposed to come out until next Friday?
The McChrystal story.
Mm-hmm. But it's clear it could have been written at any time. What a great way to get BP off the front page. Because, you know what? Obama's losing that one in the polls, folks.
Oh, he's clever, isn't he?
Well, he also controls everything.
Yes.
He controls every media outlet. He controls the banks. He is all-powerful.
He controls the vertical and the horizontal.
And, well, I mean, in Russia's world, as you recall, he speculated that the president may have been behind blowing up the well. So I'm not sure what he was trying to get off the front pages then. But presumably when he blew up the well, he was getting something. And now the McChrystal thing. You know,
Obama also supplies, you know, controls the supply of Oxycontin for North America. So,
yes, well,
you know,
there we go. Magically full circle. Okay. Andrew, sorry, I was just having a flashback to my last Larry King appearance that I did with Andrea.
Tentaros.
Human right-wing velociraptor Andrea Tentaros on Fox News.
They demanded $20 billion to put in this slush fund while they act like Johnny Appleseed and sprinkle it around. This is not a negotiation, Marcia. It's a political shakedown.
Shakedown.
It's a stick-up. And Barton was right. He had a legitimate issue to make, and it was lost when he apologized to BP. But Palin's absolutely right, and for Rahm Emanuel to go off like that, he has not a leg to stand on.
Wow. That is, see, this is what's most stunning is, as Joe Parton said, the biggest tragedy here is what's being done to BP, and now the biggest tragedy, what's being done to Joe Barton, you see?
It's funny because, you know, all these Republican Washington folks keep on saying, Joe Barton doesn't speak for us. And then when they get a chance to go on TV, people like Tartan, what was her name?
Andrea Tentaros.
Andrea Tentaro gets up and says, well, I don't exactly agree with him, but I pretty much agree with everything he said. And then they call it a shakedown. And
it's a stick-up. You know, that's a new one.
Yeah, it's a stick-up, yeah.
It's a shakedown and a stick-up.
Obama's either, they want to either remind us that Obama's African-American by using loaded language, or they want us to have, like, old-timey black-and-white video, you know, black-and-white movie depictions of the president wearing, like, a striped outfit and a bandana over his face.
Exactly. Eric Bolling on the Fox and Freaks.
It seems like right now the oil companies are, you know, they're not really loved at the moment, and they're using it almost like an ATM. Let's tax them for this. Let's tax them for that. Develop a whole big bunch of funds for cleanup, for spill, for whatever, emergencies.
Right.
They just keep doing it.
Cleanup, spill, emergencies, whatever.
Yeah.
All that gay liberal stuff. I just bombed something.
Sorry, Carl.
You know, sometimes with Eric Bolling, you don't know where to start. But I wonder what he thinks of the people in the Gulf Coast. You know, if the fund, the $20 billion fund, which should just cover the damages from the spill, not the cleanup, if people out there don't have jobs, they're just or something to him. So
yeah.
It's good to know that there are other people that actually care about the people that live in the Gulf Coast.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was talking to somebody about this morning, Carl. It just is further evidence. There just is nothing this president can do that they will not find a way to criticize. I think it was it Ben Stein, Chris, I was on Larry King with the other night, that was, this is troubling constitutionally, and he should have called Congress back in. Can you imagine if the president had called Congress back in to compel BB to do this? Then they would have said, here it is, the government again, getting too much government in the way of, you know.
They should have called in so that Joe Barton could, you know, help block it. It's essentially what the Ferris Bueller's teacher has a problem with it. Then you know there must be a problem.
Anyone?
Well, how can it be a shakedown when the fund was BP's idea to begin with?
Yes, they did it voluntarily.
Yeah.
Are you trying to insert logic into this?
You can't talk logic when you're talking about Republicans.
Carl, I'm sorry. I don't know what you did to deserve this, but it's a double helping of Glenn Beck.
They're going to shove us into alternative energies. Okay. Well, that's great. I just wish the solar panels worked. Yeah. You know what? Let's run New York City on windmill power. Let's do that. You know what that is? Besides suicide, it's like forcing somebody to drive over a bridge when it's only half finished. It'll be great when it's done, but crossing it now, you might plummet to your death.
He is such
it's suicide
idiot.
Going to solar energy. Wow.
It is, frankly. You know, he might be thinking about the geese or something when it comes to wind power, but I'm not sure who he thinks. He must think that there's, like, people running on treadmills on top of solar panels. I don't think he quite understands what alternative energy is, other than part of some big Bilderberg conspiracy theory,
right.
And Obama's in the center of it.
He is becoming just the wacky conspiracy theorist on Fox News Channel. What is going on with Glenn?
Becoming?
That's a plot to make me look like a wacky conspiracy theorist.
He was never this way on CNN Headline News.
Well, I think Jim's right. There's a conspiracy to make him look like a crazy conspiracy guy.
Well, you know how every year one of the networks has one of those earthquake movies, and mm-hmm. it's always a bigger earthquake? It's like the 9.9 earthquake hits L.A., the 10.5 earthquake
yeah.
hits L.A., right? Every time it's a little bit bigger. I think
yeah.
that Glenn Beck, he's seen his ratings slide over the last year, and he's like, well, I guess I just have to go top myself every single night on TV, and so it gets crazier and crazier and crazier.
And you wonder if, like, you know, his producers start, like, it's literally just they're having drinking bets. Like, it's a dare. See if he'll say this tonight. He did it!
So it's a producer prank, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You just gave me an idea.
O'Reilly on the McChrystal thing.
There is only one time General McChrystal is quoted bad-mouthing someone in the article. He mocks Richard Holbrooke, a presidential advisor. All the other stuff is allegedly from his aides. I say allegedly because Rolling Stone magazine did a piece on me a few years ago, and it was a total hatchet job. The writer, John Colapinto, was flat-out dishonest. The writer of this article, Michael Hastings, has a long left-wing history, so let the reader beware.
Okay, so instead of slamming McChrystal, he slams Rolling Stone magazine.
I see.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, it Rolling Stone making him look like an insubordinate asshat. That's what it is.
Well, you know, one time Rolling Stone wrote an article about me that I didn't like, so I can totally, like, understand where these guys are coming from. He's such an idiot.
Yeah. He always finds a way to bring it back to him somehow.
It always has to be O'Reilly. I mean, I'm surprised when he was talking all that smack about that McDonald's French commercial, he didn't say, well, you know, they didn't call me to be in it. It would have been a much better commercial if I was in the McDonald's French commercial.
Exactly. Carl Frisch from Media Matters. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. There he goes. Excellent. You know, kids.
Hal Sparks will see him next week.
Oh, that's right. Pardon me.
Yes.
Hal Sparks will be filling in. We will be on a much-deserved vacation.
That's right.
I will be rocking in the corner in the fetal position,
and,
recovering from my various mental and physical and emotional injuries.
That's right. And speaking of Hal Sparks, he is going to be co-hosting The View tomorrow.
Oh, yes. It's Man Week.
Really?
Hilarious.
Yes.
And he's going to call us from the green room tomorrow.
That's right.
So
that's why it's not Hump Days with Hal today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Kids, I think I've mentioned Carbonite to you. Don't be one of those too late people. I got a letter from someone the other day that said they were literally had it on their to-do list to get Carbonite.com, and they didn't. And and they lost. He's a composer. Lost all but a bunch of music compositions he was working on. When a computer disaster happens, your first instinct is to panic. That's why I have Carbonite Online Backup. There is no need to panic. I know that you'll see if your computer... there's a good chance my computer will get blown up, I think.
It almost did.
Yes.
Along with the rest of your car.
Exactly. And all of my belongings on its... Danny in Chicago, that's his name. He's a good guy, though. Called, he's like, yeah, Stephanie, got to
there's a little problem.
A little problem.
The car broke down. Well, not the car. The truck, well, burst into flame. But you know, it's not as bad as it sounds.
Literally, when I was on my way to the doctor with my broken foot, I was like, okay. 20 minutes after the hour, we will be back with the latest on what's happening in Mr. Spacely's office. With General
McChrystal.
In here. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
The meeting is over at the White House. General McChrystal has left the White House.
That's right.
He has left the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Did they use GoToMeeting?
Please, type Stephanie in the referral box.
No, he was summoned to an in-face meeting, in-person meeting. So we will in-face. What?
Yeah. What?
What?
In What's an in-face?
You're drunk.
I am. I will be having an in-face meeting with you two on Friday in my office.
If all goes well.
Yes, yeah. The way this move is going, I don't know.
You don't break another metatarsal.
I hear if your plane doesn't explode on the way here.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. Thank you. My dog walkers that are watching Patrice and her husband Victor are watching Max for a week
because Max.
They made a little joke yesterday about how they might steal him. And have a big party in my apartment. I'm like, ha ha ha, that's funny. Please, I need my security deposit back, please. Just don't punch any holes in the walls. All right, David in Minneapolis on General McChrystal. Hi, David.
Good morning, you lovely people. Hey, my question about the general is, if he is fired, retirement benefits be reduced? Is it different than if he quits or if he's fired?
Right, that's what I was wondering. I was asking, like, how that works. If he, you know, offers his resignation, you know, is it that you can't quit, you're fired? Or how does it, yeah, exactly, how does it work?
Well, punitively, I mean, I hate to say it, but I'd like to see him get away with as little as possible. I mean, that was very detrimental to the country with what he did.
Yep, I hear you. Yeah, you know who probably will be happy, Jim, would be Mary Tillman, who the mother of Pat Tillman, who sought to warn the president of the White House about McChrystal when he was going to be appointed in the first place. Senator John Kerry yesterday on...
He's a terrific soldier, and this is a critical moment in Afghanistan. And as far as I am concerned personally, the top priority is our mission in Afghanistan.
Which is what exactly?
Well, I think we know what it is. It's just, you know, but that's the other thing, Jim, that's been talked about is that he's not doing a good job. You know, he's not getting the results either. So that's certainly something that doesn't...
Well, we keep getting number two and number three guys, but we end up taking out a lot of civilians in the process. So what are we accomplishing exactly?
Senator Mitch McChrystal yesterday.
Rather than getting diverted off on this, I think it's important for everybody around here to remember that we've got a big stake in having the Afghan conflict come out the right way.
I'd like to have a big steak, but I can only eat lettuce with my turtle mouth.
No, you know, maybe it is a good juncture, Chris. I'll give you a moment. I imagine that we're going too fast once again for Yertle the Turtle, and the president ought to really consider for a while before he fires him.
Slow down and stop and think about it for a while. Maybe take down a couple of heads of iceberg. Now, don't bother cutting it into a wedge.
I was going to say, perhaps it is a good juncture, though, Jim, you're right, is to rethink, like, what is our, when you know, to come out the right way in Afghanistan, what does that mean now?
Well, you know what I think. You should just airlift anyone with a vagina out of Afghanistan.
I think we should have gone with the Jim Ward counterinsurgency strategy.
Where would we put them?
Taliban go all gay on
Jim
each other. That would be
Jim could take custody of the vaginas until they find a forever home.
I see.
Yeah, Janice would love that.
Honey, it was my idea to airlift all the vaginas out of Afghanistan.
A million
now what do we
Afghani
do with all
women.
Them?
Wow.
Do they need a vagina walker like a dog needs a dog walker?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bite my red-hot, glowing ass.
Ow.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
Don't they make ointment for that?
Pardon me?
Sorry. Never mind.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, there's breaking media news, Chris.
Yes. Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer and 2010 Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist Kathleen Parker will co-host a new hour-long CNN primetime news program starting in the fall.
Okay.
Interesting. Which Governor Spitzer just told me 2 nights ago at a party, and he told me not to move out of New York, because what? Oh.
It will be a roundtable discussion just program saying. That will probably need punditry.
Just saying, I could have you on every night, but, you know, if you want to go back to L.A. and the smog, you know, it's up to you.
I have to move back in the fall? No. Oh, well, my metatarsal should heal by then. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Congratulations to him. I like him a lot. I'm telling you, smart and funny. And I actually asked him in person. I said, I don't mean to be rude, but why did you resign? I was serious. He was very candid. Because I said, you were a great governor. And I just was talking about some of our folks, friends on the right, just have no shame. None of them quit. You know what I'm saying?
We still have Bitter.
Pardon me. Yeah, and by the way, did you read that latest thing? What is
yes.
David Vitter's, his person in charge of women's issues?
Yes.
Was just arrested for a knife-wielding incident with his girlfriend or something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love of God.
That's a woman's issue, not being knifed to death by some
yes.
whack job.
Perhaps he was, yeah, it was a
but
sort of a
Eliot Spitzer
demonstration
loved,
with a prop.
Eliot Spitzer likes the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he was very candid with me and talked about, you know, his wife and kids. And I think he really is somebody that's why he said he did. I mean, he said, if you knew my wife and kids and that he had to do was best for him and for his family. And he said, I'm stupid, like most men. And, you know, he was very, I thought, humble and candid and whatever. So I wish him well in his new venture.
I do, too.
Particularly if Stephanie Miller is involved. Let's hope on satellite from Los Angeles. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to Chris in Oakland on McChrystal. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Steph. Hey, guys. It's been too long. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey,
we wouldn't know if it's been too long because we don't know if you're listening or not, but all right.
Well, I'm listening. I just didn't have anything to say.
Okay. All right, good. Go ahead.
Anything good. Hey, call me cynical. And I apologize for it. I don't know what could have made me cynical about the right wing, but I got a feeling that this McChrystal thing, I think we're giving him too much credit for his insubordination and too much credit for whatever he's trying to do with this criticize the president. I have this sneaking suspicion, if we keep an eye on this guy, he's going to surface in a couple months, you know. He's going to come out, he's going to write a book, and there's going to be a little, you know, internet noise about him, and I think he's going to pop up on the Sarah Palin crazy, bat squeeze, crazy train Tea Party speaking circuit. I think this guy's making his move. I think he's going to doing this to make a bunch of money like she did.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we were saying, though, that even people on Fox were all saying he should be fired. So, you know, I'm not sure where his audience is yet. I'm not sure, you know, who's for outright insubordination. Let's go to Tom in Los Angeles, who served under McChrystal. Hi, Tom.
How you doing? I actually served twice under General McChrystal in 25 years. I served him once in the 75th Ranger Regiment and then the second time at MacDill Air Force Base when he was a liaison officer with JSOG. All I can tell you is the guy, he shoots from the hip. You know, he is a four-star general, and there were a lot of comments made by a lot of people about President Bush and about Obama. Just, you know what? The guy put his boot in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He was the first to admit it.
Like I said, I have the utmost respect for the man. The man is a warrior. The man can lead anybody into battle. Unfortunately, he's in a position now where he's not a politician. And this was a mistake.
Well, that's why you keep your yap shut and just
you're right. I think you were totally right. I'm not going to disagree with you on that. However, I can tell you, President Obama is not a stupid man. He did make a mistake by appointing General McChrystal to this position. It's a political position. This is no different than
You know what, Tom? I don't know that I disagree with you on that, because we were saying that, you know, as Jim Webb one again, is that, you know, and a lot of people were saying this, Jim, this has been a history. This is not, it would be different if, you know, everybody makes one mistake. But
I think he's had three bites out of the apple here. One was with the situation with Pat Tillman. He was in the middle of that. I mentioned that during his confirmation hearing. The second was when he gave an interview with 60 Minutes while this policy was being formulated. The third was when he was giving a speech in London At the same time, other people were in the White House trying to figure out where to go on the policy. So I think it's a pretty serious matter, but it's up to the president.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, somebody said it. It was not his first time to the woodshed.
Right.
He's been to the woodshed before. So.
And plus, he was bad mouthing the United States of America on foreign soil.
Yeah.
Yeah. According to the right, that is inexcusable.
Pat in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, Pat. Oops, sorry.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yes,
compared
ahead.
To what the right wing has been saying about Obama, this is nothing. And I think that's what McChrystal and his people are probably thinking about, that this they could probably just slip this on by. My feeling is keep him on there. Obama owns him. Keep him in there. Make him suffer.
No, I don't. I disagree. But I, you know, that maybe I don't know. But there is something. You know, we talk about this all the time. But the level of our discourse. If you see any of these people interviewed at these teabagger rallies, mm-hmm. he's right. You know, Joe Wilson's yelling "You lie" at the president during a State of the Union. Maybe there is just a, you know, as they say, a coarsening of our dialogue.
Right. I don't.
You know what I say to that? That.
Yeah. I don't know that he should be made to suffer, but. You know, he should be fired, or the president should accept his resignation. Absolutely.
Pat in Chicago thinks he should be demoted. Hello, Pat.
Well, hey, I'm not an expert on the Uniform Code of Military Justice, but I have seen a lot of World War II movies, so I'm...
Well, then why are you calling here if you're not an expert?
And you stayed in the motel last night.
Why not knock him down to Buck Private and give him a court-martial and let him go to Leavenworth?
According to the Military Code of Justice... I said that wrong. According to that, this is a court-martialable offense.
But, oh, really?
Yes. Yes, I was sent that quite a few times via email this morning.
Yeah, I know. Everybody has their revenge fantasies. Can we make him a private and send him back and deploy him six times?
Yeah. Make him do KP?
Well, no, just put him in combat over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You're right. Or is the peeling potatoes just the World War II movie we saw somewhere? Steve in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steph. The issue is insubordination, and McChrystal has exhibited that as against Vice President Biden, President Obama, and their other high-level military advisors. And I think he shouldn't be allowed to resign and take his benefits with him. I don't think that there's a firing that's going to be effective enough. I think the other caller had it right.
You oh, and by the way,
marshal him.
It's, you know, what's being said in a lot of circles is maybe Joe Biden was the one that was the most right about Afghanistan, so maybe he could bite Joe Biden. Maybe Joe Biden should offer that advice if he runs into him. Yes, Chris.
Okay, according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, Article 88, contempt towards officials. Any commissioned officer who uses contemptuous words against the president, the vice president, Congress, the secretary of defense, the secretary of a military department, the secretary of transportation, or the governor or legislature of any state, territory, commonwealth, or possession in which he is on duty or present shall be punished as a court martial may direct.
Hmm. I wonder how soon we're going to have news after this meeting this morning.
Hmm. I don't know. CNN isn't talking about that right now. They're talking about lesbians. So.
I see that. I'm like growing up in a lesbian family.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with
might have to wait a little bit until the breaking lesbian
but
news
first
is over.
This word about lesbians.
Okay. Let's see. Ben in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Fine. First of all, this guy is divisive. It's a setup, and he's lied to us. You and your dog could run Afghanistan better than he does. And when your foot gets better, put Bear Whiz on it. It'll heal it right up.
Bear
Whiz?
Bear pee?
Bear therapy?
No, Bear pee.
That up.
Bear Whiz. I'm trying to be not obscene here. Trust me.
Why? How does bear pee help heal your broken metatarsal?
I don't know, but they did it to me.
You are making that up, Ben.
Would I lie to you?
He just wants to get a bear to pee on you, Stephanie.
Now it's become
that's
like a
thing.
Giant national game of punk. And so I want to see if he can get me to move to New York on a whim. And now this guy wants to see if I'll put bear pee on my foot.
See if a bear will pee on your foot. Oh, you got close to that in Alaska one time.
So yeah, you did.
I did. Take my picture with the bear. Let's go to Steve in Long Island. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning, all. I have two quick comments. One, the Rolling Stone article was read by Randy Rhoads on her show yesterday, which seems to paint him as Marlon Brando's character from Apocalypse Now.
Did she read the whole article? Like Keith Olbermann does the Thurber stories?
Yes, she did.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it comes across very much that he feels he could do it with his men, doesn't care what it takes, he'll do it. And the other comment I have is that the overturning of the moratorium was done by a judge named Marty Feldman.
No way.
It wasn't a joke.
Really? Yeah, let me check that breaking news, Chris. The judge, Marty Feldman?
As in Marty Feldman eyes?
I guess so.
Huh.
You brought me an abnormal brain?
Sanchez.
Have me something.
Sanchez and Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adiós, mi amigo.
Mamacita y los Mookies. Muy buenos nachos.
Yes.
On the subject of McChrystal right now, I was just reading a little blurb on the internet from Politico. They have obtained an unreleased recording from Mary Tillman, who had written directly to President Obama to warn him about McChrystal, mm-hmm. saying that he wasn't what he seemed. And you remember the conversations that Jim and I used to have about Pat Tillman and all the research I was doing. That man was definitely fragged. If you go back and read about the three shot groups, either his head was restrained, but this was definitely no accident. So McChrystal was involved in a cover-up there. So the other thing that I wanted to say, obviously there's going to be a changing of the guards here, but how do you guys feel about the future of the Afghanistan war? Because as I was saying last weekend, the Pentagon, of all places, was a place where they announced that there's going to be this new riches of $3 trillion in all of these different minerals. For a fact, that goes all the way back to the Russians. Well, they were trying to invade Afghanistan, so they're trying to pump it up because at this point 52% of the American population does not have a favorable view of the Afghanistan war. So are we still going to escalate? Who's the next general in line? Those are my questions.
Well, the escalation in Kandahar was supposed to be coming up very, very, very soon.
Yeah.
And so that's why this whole McChrystal thing is coming up at a really, really bad time.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's, you know, Jim asked the question, what is the strategy? I mean, maybe, you know, it's a good thing to be able to really, you know, not just McChrystal, but make it about this whole thing. Like, what, I think I saw, what's his name, Robert Greenwald on TV last night, who's one of the people that's been talking about this. What is the strategy? And, you know, what does finish mean?
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You know, it is not easy to ice and elevate my foot and operate the phone system here, I'll have you know.
What?
And my own microphone. I can't be expected. This is...
Oh, wait, no, there's some good news, though.
Yes, Jim.
Von Seal has emailed you, and she's offered Fuller to be your nurse to help.
Oh, awesome. Her sullen, resentful teenager?
Yes.
She's going to send her to California for elder care?
Although, thanks to your upbringing, she's not so sullen and resentful anymore.
But she says Fuller's idea of taking care of her sick mom is consistent with her hollering up the staircase, "Hey, you want a sandwich or what?"
Yes, I'm sure having a teenager around, that'll really reduce my stress level. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Gino in Illinois on General McChrystal. Hi, Gino.
Hello, Stephanie and crew.
Hello.
Listen, here's an audio clip for you to use. As Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, used to say, know your role and shut your mouth.
Okay, thank you.
Huh?
Oh, it's a...
Barack.
He did this.
It's the Barack skit from...
He was doing a skit for us for free.
Oh, thanks.
Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
I think that that Obama shouldn't allow this guy to resign. He should fire him so that and bust him down a few ranks. So when he's on the Sarah Palin moron tour, they can't introduce him as former general. They can say, you know, former private or former defendant.
Well, like I say, I don't know all the ins and outs of that.
Of course, that would make him a hero to the right wing.
Yeah.
He was,
If Obama bumped him down, that would make him a total hero.
Well, it would look vengeful rather than just, you know. Andy in Asheville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Andy.
Hi. I actually do have an idea for how Obama should handle this from a management point of view.
Okay.
Don't knock him down a few ranks. Chew him out in the Oval Office, ask for his apology, and then hand him a piece of paper with three possible assignments on it, like training Delta Force or overseeing the Arlington National Cemetery or working as liaison with the arms suppliers, and say, which one do you want to do next? Mm-hmm. Reassign him, and that way he can't become a martyr because he has simply been reassigned to a different position. And if he does refuse the assignments and quits in a fit of pique, it'll be he who's quitting in a time of war.
Right. Yeah, interesting.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I don't remember what my options were, Chris, during your last spate of insubordination. I could have demoted you, but what's lower than a MOOC? I mean, seriously, there is no rank lower than radio.
I think
and,
MOOC
stuff, so
a,
I didn't, I really have any options.
You
and then plus I just lose
duty.
The will to live.
Well,
pardon
me? You signed it to minefield duty, you know, just to tap the ground and hold your ears, you know, hoping you don't find one.
I assigned him to change my bath water.
You don't even have an office here to call me into. What kind of boss are you?
I don't even.
Christopher, come to my side of the desk.
I lose interest. What was I going to do? Oh, fire Chris. Oh, well. All right, Tom and Durham, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I have a kind of a different take on this. I'm no big McChrystal fan, but unless I'm missing something, I didn't see any direct quotes from him himself. A lot from his subordinates.
Right.
And,
yeah.
He made some direct insults toward Richard Holbrooke. Everything else in the article was said by his staff.
But who hasn't? I mean, come on.
You can't do that in the military.
The only other thing I'd like to bring up is the other day you were talking about all the deferments that Cheney and Bush got.
What about Biden?
Didn't he have, like, a whole bunch of deferments during Vietnam?
I actually don't know. I don't. Jim, do you know?
No, I don't.
Biden's, to be quite honest, I don't know. I know his son is serving presently. I don't know. Let's Google that, won't you?
Right away, Ms. Miller.
But the thing
exactly, about, or you're, I don't know, whatever.
The thing about the Republicans is they were all for the Vietnam War as long as they weren't fighting it.
Yeah, exactly. Tom and Eureka. Hey, Tom.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, as far as I'm concerned, if Obama does not fire that man, Obama doesn't deserve to be the president. He has to control his military. We need the civilian leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job.
Yep. I hear you. I mean, it seems to me, Jim, like most everybody agrees on this. So I don't know when we're going to hear what news. McChrystal leaves the White House. Breaking news. Looking at CNN. McChrystal leaves the White House. We already know that. Meeting with Obama lasted less than 30 minutes. All right. No word yet. All right. Jim Faisal Shahzad.
Faisal waiting on waiting.
Oh, boy. I'm just saying he has a fitting name because he's such a boob as terrorists go. You know what I mean? Seriously, he had the wrong kind of exploding bird seed. He left the keys to the other car in the bomb car, and I don't know.
I left my keys in the car. Which way did I go?
Yeah, he's that really dumb crook in every movie. Which way did that go, boss?
What do I throw now?
He's a car bomb New York Times Square guy. He pled guilty 100 times. He's also quite the fine legal mind, as it turns out. He said, I want to plead guilty, and I'm going to plead guilty 100 times forward, he said during the court session. The extent of his cooperation, indeed his impaired enthusiasm for cooperating, may be something of an anomaly. He repeatedly agreed to talk without a lawyer present and waived his right to be taken to court promptly. He's, not really very bright on the crime-worthy legal scene. Faisal Shahzad!
Maybe you should hire the Schlaz.
All right. Yes.
Joe Biden did receive 5 deferments.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, then. Then we stand, not corrected. We didn't even know in the first place.
Exactly.
So there.
It's the same number that Cheney received. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. All right. Here's a new breaking news story as I leave New York. Only half of New York City subway cars are clean.
That
half
many?
Half are clean?
Define clean.
Yeah, clean's a little bit of a... The M line, the dirtiest. Oh, yeah. The number 6 and the C line are supposed to be the cleanest. I take the C line. That's my line. It's that's
just words.
They call clean. That's New York clean.
Yeah.
Well, those are just words. I have no idea what you're talking
you're
about.
You're not up to your ankles in bodily fluid, so it's clean. It's fine.
Exactly.
Just wear
exactly.
Boots.
It's only like ankle. If you're only up ankle deep in human excrement. Okay, 58
and
minutes.
And naked cowboys and cowgirls.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I have a story about the naked cowboy. 58 minutes after the hour, Representative Rush Holt, Democrat of New Jersey, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. The president could make remarks at any time on General McChrystal. We will go to that live as soon as that breaks. Like my fifth metatarsal. Thank you very much. A friend just texted me, "How's the foot this morning?" I said, "Broken, like my spirit."
Oh. Wow, New York.
Sad, self-pitying trumpet.
Could be worse. You could be in Louisiana where it's raining oil right now.
Could be raining. Could be worse.
A friend of mine said it's startling how fast and forcefully New York City chewed you up and spat you out.
Exactly.
I don't think it even bothered to chew.
What is it?
No. Like New York could take an Epicac.
Yeah.
One thing I will take back with me, my self-esteem, my dignity, no. My Carbonite Online backup, though, goes with me back to Los Angeles tomorrow. It's a must for my computer. It should be for yours, too. It automatically backs up all the files on your PC or Mac. Whenever you're connected to the Internet, go to Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Representative Rush Holt of the great state of New Jersey joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good to be with you.
Good to have you with us. Well, we're obviously awaiting the president's remarks. I have to get your take on that before we talk about BP. Can you...
I haven't talked with him, so I don't know what he's going to say. You know, there are various ways to handle insubordination, but I suppose in a case like this, the strong way of handling it is probably the right one.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there certainly is a consensus that is formed about this. I mean, that would be the shock, wouldn't it, if the announcement is that he's staying, don't you think?
I'd be surprised, but again, I haven't talked with the president, and he is the commander.
Yeah. Well, and that's something General McChrystal might have wanted to keep in mind. But.
Yeah, somebody, you know, as has been said so frequently in the last couple of days, there, I think when he was studying military history, he skipped the part on Patton and MacArthur and McClellan,
yes.
Right? And so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Congressman Holt, let's get your take on, obviously, you know, the BP disaster is continuing, as we know. But I have to ask you about this ruling. So this Louisiana judge who struck down the Obama administration's moratorium on drilling, of course, has extensive investments in the oil industry. What do you make of all that? I mean, obviously, now, first of all, because I was hearing that that could immediately overturn the moratorium, but the White House can get a stay, right?
Well, I mean, I should say I'm not an attorney, but putting aside, you know, I'm a physicist by background, so that's of some use in other matters. But
right.
And putting aside any conflict of interest, and you know, that's
right.
That's something somebody has to decide by really looking at what his investments are and what interest he has that might be conflicting. But it seems to me a strong case can be made that all of these wells, deep water, exploratory or production, have an unresolved risk, an unresolved danger associated with them, all of them. And yes, it may be that BP cut more corners than some others. We don't know. You know, those studies are yet to come out, and the judge said, you know, well, you shouldn't. You know, it's premature to cancel all this drilling while the studies are still underway. But we do know that the techniques for stopping blowouts in at 5,000 feet of water, you know, are different than on land or on shallow water, which is pretty much like land. And so it really is different.
Right.
And I think a good case can be made that they all should be stopped at least for now and maybe forever.
Congressman, I was reading the judge's ruling. Oh my gosh, his name actually is Judge Marty Feldman. Okay, that's funny. but he said if some drilling.
I can fix that hump for you.
He can fix that hump in your drilling rig for you. If some drilling equipment.
Side to side.
Yeah.
He said if some drilling equipment parts are flawed, is it rational to say all are? Are all airplanes a danger because one was? All oil tankers like Exxon Valdez, all trains, all mines, that sort of thinking seems heavy-handed and rather overbearing. Well, you know, I think we saw from the oil industry executives that testified, they all have the same safety plan. They all, you know, this isn't, I mean, to me, those just aren't appropriate analogies, are they? They all basically have the same technology and the same plans.
Sure. I mean, oil tankers and airplanes have evolved incrementally over decades. And, here, this is a big step into deep water. For oil tankers, it might have made sense back then to say only double-hulled
right.
tankers will be permitted.
Exactly.
And, of course, we've come around to that now. But maybe that should have been done more starkly, more precipitously even then. But I don't think that this is at all unreasonable. Of course, it's tough on the people in the business. But, you know, the U.S. government doesn't exist in order to make money for the oil companies.
Yeah, exactly.
We're supposed to protect the public interest. And the public interest here includes, the tourism industry, the fishing industry. You have to balance all of these things. And for the sake of 1 year's profits, or even, we're only talking about a shorter moratorium than that, you put in jeopardy for decades to come entire ecosystems. Well, you know, I think the balance comes down on the side of the moratorium.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, not just the, and I think not just that, but Robert Gibbs yesterday, take a listen to this.
The president strongly believes, as the Department of Interior and the Department of Justice argued yesterday, that continuing to drill at these depths without knowing what happened does not make any sense and puts the safety of those involved, potentially puts safety of those on the rigs and safety of the environment in the Gulf at a danger that the president does not believe we can afford right now.
Yeah, and the judge, of course, I mean, I think that was a good statement. The judge came down on the other side saying continuing to drill while we don't know what happened is what we should do. Well, that's kind of backwards, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. I mean, in his statement here that I was reading, if some drilling equipment parts are flawed, well, that's not what happened. I mean, clearly, you know, it was BP also cutting corners, and you know, it's the regulation of the whole industry that's a question here, right? It's not like, oh, there's just a couple of bad parts. That's all that happened.
And, you know, it's just like the liability question that I've been working on so much. The question is really whether the government and members of Congress stand with the taxpayers or stand with the oil companies. I think it really is that simple. Taxpayers and the environment, I guess I should expand that.
Right,
I expect
exactly.
In the next couple of weeks there will be a vote on raising the liability cap and applying it retroactively to BP. I mean, it may well be that because BP acted in flagrant disregard of the laws and regulations and maybe operated outside of the law and regulations. Maybe any of the oil laws don't apply to them anyway, and they will be liable. But I think it would be good for Congress to make that clear, that they're liable for everything across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
not a shakedown of oil companies, as Joe Barton said.
Yeah.
It's really an issue of fairness and the public interest.
Mm-hmm. Let me get your take, Congressman Holt, on Governor Bobby Jindal's reaction to this yesterday.
Listen to the judge. Listen to the scientific experts. Follow the science. Let's do drilling safely. Listen to their. If you need more inspectors on the rigs, put those inspectors on the rigs.
What experts? The experts from BP that say they can drill safely?
I mean, sure, we should. You know, the regulations have been lax, or the enforcement of the regulations, I should say, have been lax. So clearly, we, you know, the MMS, the Minerals Management Service, does not have nearly enough inspectors for the shallow water and deep water wells. And it's because, you know, over the last decade, the people who don't believe in regulations had held sway. You know, he's probably right. You should put people on there, but that alone isn't enough. Because there have been no regulations enforced or lightly enforced over the years, we've gotten way out on a limb technologically, way out on a limb procedurally, and throwing in a few inspectors or even many inspectors right now isn't going to be good enough.
Well,
until we get back to orderly practice and safe practice.
And I have to ask you before you go, Congressman, that you were saying you're a physicist, or you're...
I have a PhD in physics.
That's cool.
Was helping to run a research lab at Princeton University.
Wow.
Before I came to Congress, but. And by the way, this is politics. I love it. I'm now in my sixth term, and it's a great privilege. I must say, it's harder than physics.
And physics is hard. Well, let me ask you about this next layer of disaster. You've heard this. The BP pipe is tilting more than the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The broken wellhead is tilting over, potentially threatening further disaster. You're like, every time you think, can this really get worse?
Can
apparently
get worse?
The answer is yes.
Yeah. No, the whole thing, when the ship sank, as I understand it, the whole thing just bent like a straw in several places. And meanwhile, you know, there's a lot more corrosion down there than a lot of people realize. And so in places the pipe is thinner than you'd like to see. I'm afraid we've got lots more difficult times ahead of us on this, and
I know it really is. You know, and like you say, we all say the hurricane season coming. I mean, the whole thing is just you can't even begin to imagine what levels of disaster.
Yeah, I was talking with an environmental scientist who is really worried, and I don't know how much to be worried about this myself. But if there's a big storm, you know, blowing the aerosolized oil into houses around the Gulf could make them uninhabitable.
It's already happening. It's raining oil in Louisiana. It's on the YouTube.
Really, it's coming down now, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, on that happy note, Congressman, thanks for your time. Happy apocalypse.
Yeah, next time we'll talk more about something cheery like Afghanistan. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you, Congressman
Rush Holt of the great state of New Jersey.
Wow.
Wow, that was a happy, clappy interview. All right.
That's cool. He is a physicist. I don't know how many physicists there have been in Congress.
He's now the official physicist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, he is.
All right.
And he's one of the good ones named Rush instead of one of the bad ones named Rush.
Thank you. You know the only thing that can save us all now? Carbonite. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Obi-Wan Kenobi? Can he save us? Is he our only hope?
At least you can be protected from a computer disaster.
Oh.
Not sure about the whole oil aerosolized oil rain. However,
Jim said that.
But I'll call Carbonite and ask.
Yeah, Jim said that there's YouTube video of rain, oily rain coming down.
Yeah, oily puddles. It's, and they can smell it there too. It's really bad.
Okay, I've been to West Hollywood where it's raining men, but I think that's not the same thing at all. 19 minutes after the hour. The president, by the way, will be making the statement on McChrystal coming up at 35 minutes after the hour, about 15 minutes from now. We will go to that
Good
live.
Good job. Math is hard.
It's harder than physics. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Waiting for you.
I don't recommend you do that in Louisiana right now.
No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. We will go to the president's comments live in just a few minutes on General McChrystal. Oh, in the meantime, StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Oh, someone had was mentioning the other day what they thought our show would have been like in 1939.
Oh?
Well, first of all, a chick wouldn't have had a radio show.
That's
but
true.
However, where's my nostalgia music? Will writes, the Stephanie Miller Show in 1939. I believe the three of you would have argued like you do now. You do now, like in past lives. The following sound oddly familiar. Chris, why didn't FDR pass that anti-lynching bill? He doesn't care. Jim, and why isn't he standing up to the Japs? I hear they have a torpedo that works in a shallow water harbor like the one in Hawaii. Stephanie, oh, Chris, the president's doing all he can for the Negroes. And Jim, your conspiracy theory is enough politics. Hey, all you fellas out there, get a look at these gams. Rebecca, you're on the radio, you maroon. Gosh, I can't wait till I get married and I can quit this job. All right, the Stephanie Miller Show. So circa 1939. Oh!
Get a look at these gams.
Get a look at these gams, fellas. Get them on the hop.
Oh, wait. Speaking of nostalgia, Heather writes, Steph, thought you'd be amused to see your mom's autograph on a hat I've been consigned to sell on eBay. Most likely, you have other samples similar to this in your own collection. No, you know what? I'm my mom's signed hat collection is sadly deficient, Heather, but thank you. The hat was signed by the presidential candidates in 1964 and many of their family members, including your mother and your sister. It was obtained during your father's campaign when you were 3 years old, probably at a dinner sponsored by Mr. Nixon in New Hampshire. The informal signature of Mr. Dick Nixon inflates its value to what we're seeking on eBay. At any rate, I wanted to bring it to your attention in case you'd like to watch its auction this week on eBay. Oh, thanks,
but I'm...
There's a hat with Dick Nixon and my mom's signature on it for sale this week.
Get a load of that hat, fellas.
23 Skidoo.
Susan in Wisconsin.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
I'm a former Marine, or once a Marine, always a Marine.
Thank you for your service.
From the Vietnam era, so I'm an old lady. But I know something about UCMJ, and I think President Obama, who is my president, should have had the MPs haul that McChrystal out of his office, put him in the brig, and have him stand trial, then drum him out with no rank or anything, no credibility.
Huh? Well,
dishonorable discharge.
That's what the code calls for.
All
Absolutely.
Right, brig has been called. Someone has used the word brig for the first time this morning.
No.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Pegleg.
thank you. Please.
Hey, McChrystal's toast. Let me see. Really short meeting, and Obama's asked for a list of possible replacements.
What could it all mean?
And remember, this is the second or third time this guy has done this. Because in 2009, Obama had to call McChrystal onto a flight he was on and chew him out because McChrystal was running his gums about Biden. And Obama had to pull him on the plane and spend about an hour or so saying, hey, listen, we can't have this anymore.
Yeah, oh, please. He probably walked in and said, oh, it's nice to see the woodshed again. I love what you've done with it. You've made some changes since I was last in here. All right. Thank you, buddy. Oh, sorry, honey.
House.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, gosh. There's two things that it's like the worlds of Jim Ward have collided.
Really?
It's Kim Jong-il and World Cup soccer.
What?
Yes. North Korea's 7-0 defeat by Portugal was ignored by the country's media despite one of the heaviest defeats of the World Cup having been shown live.
They're no World Cup. They're a crazy rumor. No. It's a plot. Prop by the Western country to make her feel bad. Because my super powerful rays would have made North Korea win by 1-0. But since it didn't happen.
Yeah, see, dear leaders, the World Cup is a crazy rumor.
Stop it.
Damn
it's
you.
It's officially a crazy rumor.
Damn you, Lisbon and your linguica sausages.
And tiles.
29 minutes after the hour, back with the president live on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Billy, who would you rather bone?
Stephanie Miller.
Or Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson now or 1974?
74.
Jack Nicholson.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, awaiting the president's comments, which should be there shortly, on General McChrystal. Rob, my right-wing love muffin in San Francisco. Hello, Rob.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say we know that General McChrystal is going to be gone because Obama is such an egomaniac, he can't stand to let anybody talk disparagingly about him.
Mm, yes.
And you really think that was the issue
and
here?
No other president would have done that.
No other president. So you think that should be allowed, insubordination of that level in the military, no matter who's president? If someone had done it to George Bush, you would have said the same thing, right?
Someone did do it to George Bush, and George Bush did let him go.
Yeah.
I don't think that what General McChrystal did was such a bad thing. I mean, most of the quotes were not even from him.
It was his staff, so the buck kind of stops with him.
So they should be maybe fired, but not General McChrystal.
They're probably going to be fired in a less public kind of way.
And I don't disagree with that. But
all
you're
right.
Also talking about a president that wanted to censor a news company and
who?
Also to have people snitch on each other.
What is your evidence of that, sir?
The abuse at whitehouse.gov website that they set up to have people tell if there's disparaging remarks going on, and the fact that the White House was trying to get Fox News banned from the press reporters pool. You don't remember that?
No, the White House has absolutely nothing to do with what press is in the pool. That goes to the White House Correspondents Association.
But they tried to get Fox News
they
banned.
Did no such
no,
thing.
They did not.
They did no such thing.
Okay. I'm glad that you can rewrite history. That's great.
No, we're just correcting.
If you'd like to offer evidence of the White House trying to ban Fox News, which they never did, then go ahead.
Here's the evidence. Go to Google, type in White House press.
Oh, if it's on the internet, that means it's true?
No, but you can actually find it on ABC News because they actually report on it if you don't trust Fox News.
Uh-huh.
ABC News actually stood by their
Rob.
Other media
Rob.
Outlets.
Rob,
all right. The live blog at Free Republic misses you.
Yeah.
Got to go now. Pardon me?
The White House has absolutely nothing to do with what press is in the pool. God.
Okay. Lou in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. You know, Obama's never been a leader, always been an activist, and he really, really doesn't want the United States to win because he believes America is racist, America is unfair, America is unjust, and of course, we are the great imperialist.
Is it Freeper Day?
Yeah, it is Freeper Day.
Let's not play tackle hockey. One at a time, please.
Excuse me? Whose show is this?
One at a time.
Whose show is this, Lou?
He's in charge now.
I'm reading the talking points.
Shut up!
You people shut up with your little show.
I'm not in the mood for him. Okay. Apparently the call to the Stephanie Miller Show alert has gone out at Free Republic today.
I just love how we play with them like a cat toy, though. You know, we're armed with facts here.
One at a time.
One at a time. You people think you have a right to speak. I have to get the talking points out.
Listen,
I
have no control of this show.
I got a lot of radio shows to call.
What makes you think you're going to have control of this show, sir? What the hell? Dale in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello, Dale.
Hello, that creeper was off his meds.
Yeah.
Good grief. Hey, this is just me thinking, but we need to demote General McChrystal to colonel and send him off and make him a CO somewhere in Alaska. You know, you don't have to fire him that way, but everyone will get the signal loud and clear. You don't buck the chain of command and you don't do that.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. Exactly.
Right. But the second thing is, let's be serious for a minute. The right-wing radio just takes over the military radio. I was in, for a while, I was in Iraq, and it is all right-wing stuff. This is a failure for us Democrats to get tough, get in there, and change the whole system from top to bottom. If all they're here is right-wing stuff.
I know. And, no, and listen, we... Chris, how's that going, trying to get me on Armed Forces Radio? I am the slutty Bob Hope. They would love me. Don't you think? The troops would love me.
They would love you. Yeah, yes, as long as you show your gams.
Cha-cha-cha.
Cha-cha-cha.
Okay. Here's the naked cowboy fight, by the way.
Oh?
I see the naked cowboy every day when I walk home through Times Square.
Is he naked, or does he have some kind of covering on?
He has pants and a hat.
Well, then that's not
he
quite naked.
He has underpants
naked.
And a hat.
And a guitar.
It's not quite naked now, is it?
No, it's underpants and a guitar.
Okay.
Which is not a look
everyone
can pull off.
Yeah, the underpants cowboy. He can't
exactly.
He can't be calling himself naked if he's not.
New York's naked cowboy to naked cowgirl, stop copying me.
Oh, jeez. There's a naked cowboy fight now?
Yes. He wants a bikini-clad woman who calls herself the naked cowgirl to stop ripping off his trademark. He has sent a cease and desist letter. I don't know how you get mail delivered to other people that are just traipsing about Times Square, but however... she wears a red, white, and blue cowboy hat and a matching bikini, and he would like her to stop.
That's even less naked.
Exactly.
Ooh, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just coughing up a lung. Don't mind me.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of New York stories, Jerry Seinfeld apparently hates Lady Gaga. Is the breaking celebrity news at a Mets game a couple of weeks ago? She was delisted, says she was put in Jerry Seinfeld's private luxury box after she started complaining that the paparazzi kept taking pictures of her in the front row. Even after she was moved, they kept their lenses directed at her, and she kept throwing the, one-finger salute while wearing just a bra.
Who are these people in my box?
Exactly. That's what Jerry Seinfeld said.
Nobody puts Gaga in a box.
nobody wants the Gaga in the box.
And nobody puts Barack in the corner.
That's exactly. Right.
He sounds like he's doing a parody of a Seinfeld routine. He said, "This woman is a jerk. I hate her. I can't believe they put her in my box, which I paid for. You give people the finger and you get upgraded? Is this the world we're living in now? Why is she giving the finger? How old is the finger? How did it even get to be the finger? I don't know what these young people think or how they promote their careers." Wow, he's like a crotchety old man.
He really is.
Get off my lawn. Get off my lawn and out of my box, you whippersnapper.
I don't think he likes the Gaga.
Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph.
Hi, Mike.
I broke my fifth metatarsal about a year ago.
No.
And I'm a somewhat middle-aged man, too, so a couple things you need to know.
Are you inferring that I'm a middle-aged man?
No, you're a fabulous, beautiful woman. And,
thank you. First of all, is there a difference between a break and a fracture? I don't really know. I fracture.
No,
it's
a fracture is just the medical term for break. It's a break. Mm. It's a fracture.
I was hoping it was the same thing.
Mm. No, sorry. It doesn't make it any easier.
Okay.
And it's a really little bone, which makes you think it's going to heal faster, but you're always stepping on it, even with the boot.
Right.
So it's going to take a while.
Yeah.
But I know some people
when
who
When you say
done.
While, define a while.
Well, it took me 6 months. I wasn't wearing the boot for 6 months, but here's the thing. There's some orthopedics people who are going to tell you get a pin. But if you do hear that, go to somebody else because
a pin.
I found somebody who gave me what's called, and you're going to love this, a bone stimulator.
Ooh.
Yes.
I've heard of the
bone stimulator.
Yeah, check those out because they're amazing. They're like
I'm getting
little,
Jim one for Christmas.
Also known as a fluffer. But anyway.
My wife really liked it quite a bit, I got to say. It's like Star Trek. You put it on for 10, 15 minutes, and it gives you little waves of healing, and it helps it heal better.
So it's like a lipostim.
Definitely check that out, because a pin, it means they're cutting open your foot, and it's never going to be the same.
Yeah, I don't need surgery. He already told me I shouldn't.
So much
surgery.
For open-toed boots.
Yeah. No. Now, is it your right foot or left foot?
It's my right foot.
Of course.
Oh, so you can't drive. I have the same thing.
Huh? You're moving back to LA.
Back
you
to
can't
LA.
Drive.
What?
Yeah, you didn't think of that, did you?
Oh no.
What do you mean you can't drive?
Oh nuts!
You can't drive with the boot, darling.
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
You can't.
Who's going to be driving Miss Daisy when I get back to LA?
Just take the subway. Oh wait.
Wait a minute. Subway only goes to downtown.
I may need to rethink this.
Again. Oh, dear, Stephanie.
Exactly.
Don't even bother unpacking the car.
Did you have to cancel my move back to L.A.? Oh, well.
On the plus side, there's less of a chance of someone stepping on your foot here in Los Angeles.
True.
Mm, it's true.
You probably get an orthopedic surgeon that says, yeah, just walk it off.
Yeah.
Walk it off. It'll be fine. Run it off, in fact.
Yeah, like a high school coach.
take a lap. Run it
Michael
off.
Michael in Dallas. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Louise and crew.
Yes.
Hey, listen, in addition to McChrystal violating the other military code, what I have a major problem with is that this guy has historically shown such a lack of respect
for the office of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States. And this guy needs to be called to task. He needs to have his come to Jesus meeting as he had today. And quite frankly, the guy, in spite of who might be coming up next in terms of being moved up to his position, in spite of all that, the guy needs to go. Because the guy is habitual in terms of his, you know, of showing disrespect to the president, and sounds like also to at least two senators.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And the vice president. I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Anyway, the president's late again, for God's sakes, Chris.
Well, yes.
It's nearly 10 minutes after we were supposed to hear from the president about the crystal rides. It's a cliffhanger, everybody. So gay groups are lashing out at former Arkansas Governor, Governor Mike Huckabee for saying in a recent interview he doesn't support gay marriage because of the ick factor. That's funny. Some of us have an ick factor about Mike Huckabee.
And his family, especially if you've seen that picture. Good Lord.
Yeah, that picture will make you not want to have sex with anyone ever. He said male and female are biologically compatible to have a relationship. We can get into the ick factor. But the fact is, two men in a relationship, two women in a relationship, biologically, that doesn't work the same.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Captain Technical. Okay, sure. Let me hold the permutations, go through the thought bubble for a moment. Okay, that just it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but he reproduced. He's allowed to reproduce and produce those kids. Good
he
God.
Later joked in the profile, the only thing worse than a torrid affair with sweet, sweet Nancy Pelosi would be a torrid affair with Helen Thomas. If those were my only options, I'd probably be for same-sex marriage. Okay.
Hmm.
Well, Helen Thomas has said that herself that she's not too terribly attractive.
You recall his other greatest hit on gay marriage. He said, there's a lot of people who like to use drugs. Let's go ahead and accommodate those who want to use drugs. There are some people who believe in incest, so we should accommodate them. There are some people who believe in polygamy. Should we accommodate them? All right. Sir. I have an ick factor about Mike Huckabee. I do.
Some people cook up squirrel in a
popcorn popper.
Yeah. That might be an ick factor there.
That's a definite ick factor.
Mm. 46 minutes after the hour, hopefully back with the president's comments live on General Crystal as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sometimes I get this feeling deep down inside, and it says,
Stephanie Miller.
With a broken metatarsal, so I can't dance anymore.
Well, no one.
They're giving me a going away party in just a few minutes here in New York, Chris. They're so happy to see me go.
But tomorrow,
I've canceled my coming home party that I was giving for myself because I would not want to deprive Jim of my fabulous dancing. I'd wait till my foot heals. I heard a huge cheer, Jim, in the next room. I thought McChrystal was fired,
Donovan scored.
The U.S. just scored.
Yes, 1-0.
Goal!
London Donovan!
Are you guys talking sports?
Yes. It's World Cup.
It's just words to me.
Everybody's talking sports. And that concludes the sports section of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, we are awaiting President Obama's remarks about Wachahoosets, General McChrystal, General Asshat, sorry. Bonita in Madison on the most important story of the morning, and that is Mama's broken fifth metatarsal. Hello, Bonita.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm broken.
I'm sorry.
My spirit, my foot, my heart, it's all right.
I'm calling to differ with the guy who said you cannot drive with a boot on. I did. I drove for 6 weeks with a boot, and I transported my children across town every day.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no way I can live in Los Angeles and not drive, so I'm going to have to ignore that edict if it's true.
Absolutely. You go for it. And my doctor actually gave me permission. So, you know, there's it's not an issue at all.
You can probably get out of speeding tickets, too. You'll be like, look at this thing. I can't control it.
That's right. It is a little heavy.
Exactly. I literally have a lead foot. Literally, there's lead in there. All right, let's go to Theo in San Francisco. Hello, Theo.
Good morning, Mama. So,
good morning, baby.
Your dulcet tones and the amazing logic coming from the MOOC. So I'm thinking perhaps the sleeper has something. Maybe I should Google and see what exactly did happen with this attempt at banning Fox News. And
right.
Every website I have managed to find that states that the White House attempted to ban Fox News has a right-wing pundit writing the article.
Exactly.
The only neutral thing I was able to find was from Politico, which said that nobody, including ABC, was arguing with the White House over Fox News' attempting to steer dialogue around something the president did or did not do. It wasn't about banning Fox. It was the White House telling other news stations don't follow their lead on the story.
Thank you. Yeah. We instinctively knew it wasn't true. We don't even need the Google, do we, Chris?
No, we do.
We can smell Freeper now from a mile away.
We've been doing this for a long time.
I am just a regular person, and I am expressing my outrage.
I am not really a Republican or a Democrat. I am an independent small business owner, Stefani.
I am not
interested
in politics.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook. Sorry about the fifth metatarsal.
Thank you.
That's a popular one to break, apparently.
I just wanted to tell you that this McChrystal guy should not be discharged from the military, either honorably or dishonorably, but should be reassigned. He should be given some menial task in some faraway place, such as cleaning latrines with a toothbrush.
Yeah, a lot of vengeful bastards in Mama's audience this morning, aren't there, Jim?
Well,
have a lot of...
maybe he should serve in combat.
Maybe. That's what I was saying. Can you make him a private and send him into Afghanistan on his little strategy? All right. He may not be the only one leaving. White House Budget Director Peter Orszag plans to leave government in July, becoming the first member of Obama's cabinet to depart. Oh, leaving for a think tank. I bet you hardly anybody in George Bush's administration had that in their future. He has two accomplishments, two signature accomplishments, the stimulus and health care reform, to which we say... Just saying.
Oh, a little bit of breaking World Cup news.
Yeah.
The U.S.
Yes.
has advanced
yes.
to the next round.
Well, that's what the cheering was about. We just covered that,
which
Chris.
Means
no,
England
sports
is out.
Deficient bastard.
No, they were cheering because the U.S. just scored a goal.
But, yeah.
But they have just won the game, and now they're advanced. So
it also means England is not advancing.
Oh, dear.
Because Slovenia has 4 points already. So, wow, that's going to be a sad flight home.
No. Oh, by the by, I was speaking of the budget director and the stimulus and yada yada. So I was talking about this. I love this Michael Steele interview where he said George Bush created a lot of jobs. And I think the reporter almost did say Ballsack says what?
That's what Christine Roman said earlier this morning.
Yes.
And by that, I mean five. That's just how he rolls.
Who's the reporter? Oh, Aaron Burnett. So Burnett said, what specifically is the Republican Party going to offer? Steele simply continued attacking Obama, adding that we should trust job creators like Wall Street. He then suggested that we return to the failed policies of President Bush because Steele, Bush said, had created a lot of jobs. Haynes, obviously stunned by the remark, said, beg your pardon? He said, George Bush created a lot of jobs. Haynes, beg your pardon?
You're kidding?
Steele.
No, you're kidding, aren't you?
He said, well, I think there were jobs created in the 8 years George Bush was in office. Haynes, no, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. Steele said, I think jobs were created. I'm almost confident about that.
Almost confident?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, here are the fun facts, just in case you were wondering. While he's almost confident, the facts disagree. The Wall Street Journal noted, in the last month of Bush's term, Bush's job data shows the worst track record for job creation since the government began keeping records. That's pretty bad. A paltry 1 million jobs created under Bush. That's a fraction
of
the 23 million jobs created under Bill Clinton. Carter created 10.5 million jobs. More jobs will be created under Obama in this year alone than in President Bush's
eight.
Yes,
but George Bush created a lot of jobs, a million of them. That's a lot.
Bush's supply-side economics fostered the weakest jobs and income growth in more than six decades, along with sluggish biggest business investment and gross domestic product growth. Bush's year saw an additional 8.3 million people fall into the poverty line. On every major measurement of income, the country lost ground during Bush's two terms.
Why do you hate America?
Oh, by the way, you know that RNC, the shadow RNC that Karl Rove and Ed Gillespie formed?
Oh, yeah.
Because Michael Steele is such an incompetent boob?
Yeah, whatever became of that?
They raised $200 last month.
Wow.
I don't know all the stories, the predictions of doom for Democrats in the midterm. I don't know. Between that and you know, Rand Paul and whatever roadkill it is that landed on his head, and Sharon Angle, and not sure how I like Republicans' chances when you... Hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Sharon in Long Island, before I go here. Sharon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was concerned about you driving with your boots because I wanted to let you know that by law, that's classified as driving while impaired.
Oh, dear.
And if you got a cop that was being real rigorous about the law, they could actually cite you for it. I learned that when I had a...
It may be different in California. I don't know.
Well, you'll have to have Rebecca drive you, I guess.
I can't live anywhere. I'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.